Here we go. It's another big week in the NFL for the New England Patriots. This is the Patriots Wire Podcast, powered by USA Today Sports. Now your host, Ryan O'Leary, and Patriots Wire editor, Henry McKenna.
All right, Henry, week one of the season is finally upon us. Patriots opening with a familiar opponent. Are you ready for some football this weekend?
Yeah, I've been waiting a long time to see some real football and maybe a tiny dose of normalcy. So it should be a fun weekend.
So looking at the Patriots' final 53 for week one, personally, I was a little disappointed to see Damian Harris end up on the IR. I know that doesn't mean we won't see him like around week four, and it's only a hand injury I'm hearing, so probably not anything too serious. But, you know, I heard from you, Henry, and other reporters that the kid was looking good in camp, and this is another setback. So what do you know about the extent of that injury?
Yeah, so NFL Network's Ian Rappaport said that it's a pinky injury that required surgery.
A pinky?
There's a chance. Pinky, yeah, the final finger. So he's eligible to return as soon as week four. There's no obvious timeline on the injury. Nobody's reported the extent of it and what the surgery was and what the normal recovery time is. So the Patriots cut Lamar Miller earlier this offseason, you know, just right around the day of 53-man cuts. And that puts sort of Sony Michel firmly in the driver's seat for that early down job for the running back. So, you know, there's still Rex Burkhead, who they like to use in the red zone a fair amount because he can run and catch. Michel has yet to really prove he can catch the ball. And James White will always be sort of that third down option. But Michel will probably continue to be sort of that bell cow guy, at least until Harris comes back.
Okay, cool. And we'll get into Sony Michel a little bit because I know you posted about him on the Patriots Wire. But here, from a fan's perspective, and as you know, I grew up in New England, so I've been following this team for a long time, and I love me some Bill Belichick, but I also look at him and go, Bill, what are you up to, my man? And a pinky injury, throwing this kid on the IR, that could easily just be a roster maneuver. And I think teams across the league, Henry, are manipulating this system, throwing guys on IR, playing with that new practice squad that has more, you know, slots this year. So should we buy into this injury? Should we buy into it that it's serious? Could Harris have taped that thing up and played?
Yeah, I think it's real. I think that they wanted him to be in a big role in the offense, like, right away. So he provides an element of pass catching that Michelle doesn't. So if they could have an early down back that can also catch the ball, I think they'd be happy to have that. So, I mean, again, this sort of opens up the window for Michelle to be relevant again, but because he was headed on sort of a negative trend. But I think Harris's his injury is for real. I think they were deciding between JJ Taylor and Harris on the roster, because after Harris went to IR, they promoted JJ Taylor to the 53-man roster. I mean, he cleared waivers, so I don't think that they're like trying to protect him or anything.
Sure.
And I think Harris is just genuinely hurt.
Okay, so Belichick's not messing with us. I never can trust you, Bill. I can never trust him. But Henry, you posted about Sony Michel. A lot of, like you said, you just alluded to it, a lot of people are down on Michel right now, especially the Boston media, it seems. Everybody's crapping on Sony. They don't think he's got it. They think he was picked too high in the draft. So are you buying a bounce back year for Michel? Do you think he'll take this opportunity here in the first couple weeks and roll with it?
Yeah, I wish I had a really good take on how Sony Michel is going to do. I can't get my mind straight on it. What I do know is that he's going to get a big opportunity, and that was sort of what I was alluding to, and that's sort of why I bought into his stock on fantasy football all of a sudden.
Yeah,
is because the path is cleared for him to be, you know, he was a 250 carry guy for the first two seasons, maybe exception of his rookie year. He was probably 200, and last year he was right at 250. So if you can get a 250 carry guy really deep in fantasy leagues, which is where he's going, like 100 and something, then that's a good move.
So the Patriots obviously opening up against the Dolphins. You're Miami Dolphins, Henry. I know you're big on the Dolphins this year. I think there's been a national movement since our podcast dropped last Thursday, our first one. I think people are starting to love the Dolphins. I've seen, I think it was it Peter King who picked the Dolphins? Somebody picked the Dolphins to win the
AFC.
Yeah,
it was Peter King.
It was Peter King. Okay. So obviously the Dolphins, the big news with them are they're going with Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback against the Pats, which for me, a lot less fun and mysterious than if Tua Tagovailoa was starting, right? I mean, you kind of know what you're up against with Fitzpatrick. I think you called him the wily old veteran. you know, it's hard to see Belichick losing to a 37-year-old journeyman quarterback for a second straight time here. But, you know, what do you think about that specific piece? Fitzpatrick back in, you know, that starting role for the Dolphins going against the Pats week one.
So, weirdly, Fitzpatrick is always hard for the Patriots to beat. He's a tough guy.
It's because he doesn't care. You know, he'll throw at Stephon Gilmore. We saw that in week 17, right? Like, he's a wild man.
Yeah, a little Fitzmagic. He'll run the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah, he'll challenge the best cornerback in the NFL. So I think, you know, he's a tough guy to defend. Bill Belichick called him unpredictable.
Oh, that's a great word.
Yeah, it's a high compliment for Belichick, typically, who likes unpredictable football, I'd say. Yeah, I think he's a hard quarterback to defend. And, you know, he's not the most efficient quarterback. So I've been playing a lot of golf during quarantine. And in golf, sometimes you have these very ugly but effective, these oobies shots, right? Where, you know, maybe it's a low line drive or maybe it gets a good bounce. That's sort of like the way that Ryan Fitzpatrick plays. He's ugly, but he's effective. So if they had gone with Tua Tagovailoa, it would have been to their disadvantage because Fitzmagic is, I wouldn't call him a Patriot killer, but he plays his best football against the Patriots. And I mean, I think they can win. I think they will probably cover the spread, which is like 6.5.
Oh, I knew you were going with that, but we'll get into that spread a little bit later. But I knew you were going to go with the Dolphins. We'll be right back on the Patriots Wire podcast.
Fantasy football is about proving that you are better than your friends.
Sit them, start them. These are the fantasy picks of the week.
It will kill me if this game ends in a tie.
I need this win. This game's pretty much done.
With Corey Bonini from TheHuddle.com.
Corey Bonini with TheHuddle.com here to talk to you about three fantasy options that I can't wait to play in week number one. Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback Gardner Minshew. He doesn't have a running game to speak of, and he's probably going to have to throw the ball a lot to keep Jacksonville even remotely close in this one. Volume alone should keep him in the number one range for quarterbacks, but it might not be pretty in terms of turnovers. Sticking with that same matchup on the other side of things, Marlon Mack. Jacksonville has lost just about everyone of note on defense in the last year or so. This was one of the best fantasy matchups for running backs last year, and one could make an argument that this team has regressed. Mack was good for 16 and 19 fantasy points, respectively, in PPR last year, and he's not even a receiving type back. Jonathan Taylor will take some touches, but Mack should be able to get his, too. And the Seattle-Atlanta matchup has DK Metcalf poised to be one of the top receivers of the week. He scored twice last year against them, accounting for two of his seven touchdowns on the season. Seattle should be a little bit better on the back end, but rookie cornerback AJ Terrell will make his first pro appearance, and Metcalf can probably have his way with him. In week number one, don't get too cute. Trust the guys who you drafted highly. Don't try to take too many gambles, and take chances where it's smart. Continuity probably will be the biggest factor in success entering the season.
For more fantasy football tips and advice, check out TheHuddle.com, part of the USA Today Sports Network.
Just call me Miss Cleo. I'm glad that Cam was able to confirm what I could see. The fact that these two guys, they need each other. They really do. When you look at what Belichick, he lost in Brady, a team leader, a guy that he knew players believed in, a guy that knew the system, a guy that whenever he's on the field, okay, we know that Tom will do whatever he can to win. That's what he needed in his next quarterback. And that's what Cam is, a guy that players can look to and say, look at what he's done in his career. Look at where he is. He is hungry. If we are going to win this game, he's going to try to push us over the finish line. And Cam, a guy who felt like he had just been discarded like trash by Carolina, he comes to an organization and proves that not only can he be a captain, he's a hard worker, he's a leader.
All right, so that's Kimberly Martin Henry on the ESPN Get Up program recently talking about what has become a straight-up love affair between Cam Newton and Bill Belichick. They can't get enough of going on these Zoom meetings and talking about how much they love and appreciate each other, how they're a match made in heaven and all this stuff. How much you buy in that? You know, I mean, it's not like Belichick gave Newton this like lucrative contract to come here. It's very much a prove it deal, a very team friendly deal. But Newton is a captain, and they, every chance they get, they're talking about how much they love each other. So are you buying that?
Well, I think that they're definitely in the honeymoon phase where Newton is working extremely hard, working really long hours. He's quickly absorbed the Patriots offense, and it's clicking. And I think we'll see if on the football field it genuinely clicks, right? Like, it's working for now in the building because they're not battle tested yet. So yeah, I mean, I'm buying it. I think that this is two people who are desperate kind of for each other in that it's pretty clear the Patriots were not well equipped at quarterback prior to signing Newton. Stidham was not good enough in camp, and Hoyer was Brian Hoyer, and nobody really wants Brian Hoyer as their starting quarterback.
Sure.
So Belichick needed Cam Newton. He needs to work with Cam Newton for the next year in order to win football games. And the same is true of Newton. Newton needed Belichick to be interested in him in free agency. There was no one else who was going to start Cam Newton at quarterback this year aside from New England. That became pretty clear. So this necessity, I think, is going to carry throughout 2020. And then we'll see kind of how the relationship evolves. Can they get past the honeymoon phase and really be like a genuine couple, if you will? and get married.
I love the analogy. It's like early in that relationship, everything's great. You're spending all this time together. You're so happy. But the NFL football season is a marathon, right? So maybe by week 10, week 11, we'll see if they're ready to get married. I think that's a great analogy. I love it, Henry.
Yeah.
A key matchup in this game that we heard of ad nauseum was Devontae Parker, Stephon Gilmore, right? We know Parker and Fitzpatrick kind of got the best of Gilmore in week 17. That's a very touchy subject for us Patriots fans. Week 17 last year against the Dolphins. Gilmore, I know he hasn't really chirped to the media at all. It seems like he's kind of quietly focused. What are you expecting in that matchup between Parker and Gilmore?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of success from Gilmore. I think Parker is, what we saw last year is that he's very good. I think Gilmore will lose, you know, a chunk like here and there. You know, it won't be a full shutdown performance, but I think Gilmore is absolutely angry, you know, that he let up that big game. And that big game, you know, it was so influential. It mm-hmm. was, you lose that game, you play in the wild card round. You play in the wild card round, you play the Titans, and you lose. So I imagine that's sort of weighing on him. He's just going to have an elite performance, I think, ultimately.
I think Gilmore's a guy who, if he's really kind of just coasting, he'll chirp a little bit. He'll give you a little bit of sound. But when he's locked in, he's not going to say anything, and he's going to kind of keep it close to the vest. So I agree with you. I think Gilmore he's ready to dominate that matchup. But we'll see. I'll be a key one. So as Henry alluded to a little bit earlier, the Patriots are favored by almost a touchdown, 6.5. We'll get into that line coming up here on the Patriots Wire podcast.
It's that time again for the line of the week. The inside track to the favorites, the underdogs, and the over-unders.
I think I want my money back.
Now, here are Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today's Sportsbook Wire.
Hello, I'm Eston McLaren of SportsbookWire.com and BetSlippin' Podcast, and I'm joined by Jeff Clark, my colleague at SportsbookWire.com and BetSlippin' Podcast, and here's what you need to know about the Week 1 matchup between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and New Orleans Saints. Tampa Bay is +145 on the money line, with New Orleans Saints favored at -176. Jeff, which side of that do you like?
I'm on the Saints. I'm on the favorites -3.5. I'm big about their offensive continuity. Their offensive line is going to be the hold up against what should be a pretty good Tampa Bay Buccaneers pass rush. I'm not sold in the Buccaneers secondary right now, and how can you not be sold in the passing attack of the Saints?
Hey, Tom Brady, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rob Gronkowski, let's go. All-star underdog team +145, locking that in week one, a big upset in the NFC South. Check out Sportsbook Wire for more with all odds from BetMGM Sportsbook. Subscribe to Bet Slippin' Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, Henry, you already kind of talked about it. The Pats are favored by 6.5. You are probably going to take the points with the Dolphins if you had to. Why do you think you should take the points here?
Yeah, I just don't know if the Patriots are ready for the season. Everybody's on a shortened off season. That's what they'll tell you. Everybody's dealing with turnover. That's what they'll tell you. But the Patriots are dealing with a unique and one of the most like hyperbolic levels of turnover in the history of the franchise.
Seriously.
Maybe in the history of the league, where they're dealing with a quarterback who has won 6 Super Bowls and he's leaving. Cam Newton's coming in, and not only is Cam Newton, you know, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but he's a totally different player than Brady. So not only are you changing quarterbacks from one of the best in history, but you're changing to a totally different style of quarterback. It's an adjustment in how coaches call plays, in how players study the playbook, etc. Timing on routes is different for the receivers, and the quarterback's sort of favorite go-to option could change from Edelman to, you know, maybe Harry or something to that degree. Probably not in that case. But what I'm alluding to is this is like a rapid and vast transformation. on one side of the ball. And defense is like that too, where their whole linebacker corps, that it's just gone. Byron Jones, one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, signed with Miami. And then they had three first-round draft picks that really bolstered that offense with a tackle. And I guess we won't see Tua, but probably won't. But they don't have that much turnover. Like, these are just upgrades to an offense and a defense that was already pretty good at the end of last season. You could see them gaining momentum. I mean, they were the laughingstock of the NFL. I mean, remember when they ran that, like, ladder play? And the sort of internet exploded, like, the most Dolphins play ever. And it felt so emblematic of how bad they were. But then all of a sudden, here we are in week 17. I'm talking about last season. They were beating the Patriots. Here we are in week one. They're playing the Patriots again, and it's this interesting litmus test. Maybe I'm getting a little too wrapped up in narratives here, but I just see a very obvious case for Miami to, at least in week one, get an easy win over New England at a Gillette Stadium, which will be empty.
And then really quick, I know you guys posted about this sports betting website that posted odds of Belichick leaving before the start of the 2021 season at plus 200. That's pretty good. That's pretty good odds. You taking action on that?
I have no interest in that. Bill Belichick is an impossible man to predict. I mean, look, if he did retire, I could see it kind of making some sense. Belichick's cleared the cap space for years to come. He found Cam Newton, who could be the quarterback of the future, and they could use some of that cap space. There are ways that, you know, if Belichick decided to step away, he could have a pretty clean break to hand it off to Josh McDaniels and be like, hey, here you go. You know, you've got Cam Newton, or you got a really high draft pick. Start your rebuild, if you will. The narrative is kind of there, but I just don't think Belichick's done with football yet. I think he's like committed to coaching a little while without Brady. So just 1 year without Brady doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Sunday, officially, this is a whopper. It's the official start of the post-Tom Brady era, the official start of the Cam Newton era. It's kind of a whopper. This is kind of a big moment in Patriots football history. It all gets going on Sunday at 1 p.m. We'll be back next week to break it all down. Henry, enjoy the games this weekend.
Thanks for bringing me on.
We'll catch you next time on the Patriots Wire podcast.
This USA Today Sports podcast has been presented by USA Today's Sports Media Group and is available in your favorite podcast store. Make sure to subscribe for weekly updates, the latest fantasy picks from Corey Bonini, and the Huddle Podcast, Inside the Weekly Line with Sportsbook Wire's Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren, and the Bet Slippin' Podcast. We'll see you again next week.